الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters, you and I know certain people in this life who've built for themselves such a reputation of honesty that they would prefer to die as opposed to failing in a promise that they had given. If such is the status of a promise in the eyes of some human beings, what then is the status of a promise in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, who has given himself names like Al-Haqq, the truth, and Al-Barr, the ever doer of good, and Al-Kareem, the most generous? What would he do, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he has made a promise? Look at what he says in the Quran in answering this question. Inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah never fails in his promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, innama tu'aduna la sadiq. What you have been promised is true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, innama tu'aduna la waqi'. Surely what you have been promised has come to pass, must come to pass. Subhanallah. Focus on this emphasis on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never fails in any one of his promises. Now, a question. Why is it that people break their promises to begin with? It's usually because of either the promise itself was a lie to begin with, or number two, because of an inability later on to act upon the promise that you had made in the past. And this is precisely why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never fails in a promise that he had made. Because number one, Allah Almighty is above lying, and hence lying is not a possibility. Number two, he is able to do all things, and therefore being unable to act upon a promise is also not a possibility. And this is why Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, وَمَنْ أَوْفَى بِعَهْدِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Who is truer to his covenant than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the implied answer? And the implied answer is nobody. With that said, let us take a look at some of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of which must come and will come to pass if the conditions are met. Promise number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who practice Islam inwardly and outwardly a pleasant, happy life. Allahu Akbar. In no era in human history have the means of comfort and welfare ever been so within reach like they are today. And never has the knowledge of the world's complex mysteries and our ability to subdue nature's unfriendly elements ever been attained like they have today. And despite these remarkable achievements at so many fronts, and in spite of possessing all of the means for a better life, that goal, that objective of reaching and living a pleasant life and feeling mental happiness has never drifted further away from our shores like it has today. I know that you will agree when we say that the 21st century has taught people how to fly in the air like birds and how to swim in the oceans like fish, but how to walk on the face of the earth as happy and content and satisfied individuals, many of us still don't know how to do this. Now, the variables, there are many. But according to Muslims, there is one chief variable in unlocking and finding this gem called happiness. Where is it to be found? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ كَفَّرَ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَأَصْلَحَ بَالَهُمْ. And those who believe, focus on the conditions, those who believe and they do righteous deeds and they believe in that which was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it is the truth from their Lord, what will Allah do for them? Look at the end of the ayah. He will erase from them their sins and he will improve their state. He will improve their state. That is a promise from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good, whether male or female, and he is a believer, we will most certainly make him live a happy life. Whoever believes that happiness can somehow be found in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obedience has shown the worst of thought and the worst of expectation regarding Allah. Take it as a rule in your life, dear brother, dear sister. Your soul's fatigue is according to how far or close it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is precisely why the reason why Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to his servant when they were traveling, looking for a man called Al-Khadr, Musa began to feel tired. He said to his servant, "Atina ghada'ana laqad laqina min safarina hadha nasaba," bring us our morning meal, because we have suffered so much in our journey and we are experiencing fatigue. Commenting on this statement of Prophet Musa, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Walam yansab," يعني موسى, حتى جاوز المكان الذي أمر به. Musa only felt tired the moment he had passed the area that he was commanded to go to. Musa was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet a particular person in a particular destination. Musa, however, did not realize that he had accidentally gone past that particular place where Allah wanted him to be. And it was at that point when he had crossed this area that his soul began to fatigue. It was a sign. Therefore, dear brother, dear sister, say the same to your soul. Oh my soul, if you have fatigued, then it is a sign that you have crossed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's limit somewhere and that you're standing where He does not want you to stand. You know, being torn between two items of clothing stresses many of us out. Being torn between two job opportunities, even more perplexing. What then do you make of a person who is constantly torn between the life of sin, the life of obedience, that double life, the life of Islam and the life of Islamlessness? Can such a person truly rest? And that is precisely why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he would say these beautiful words, establishing this principle, "Man arada as-sa'adat al-abadiyyah, فَلْيَلْزَمْ عَتَبَةِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ." Whoever aspires for eternal happiness, then let him remain at the doorstep of worship. We ask Allah Almighty to make us worshippers of Allah and to realize where happiness is to be found. You and I, we can take all of the medicines on every shelf we may wish and read all the theories that we want. We may knock on the door of every opportunity and visit every avenue in search for this gem called happiness and peace of mind, but you and I will not find it in any place except where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to find it. That is promise number one. As for promise number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who live a life of Islamic practice love within the hearts of people. Where is that promise found? This is in Surah Maryam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, "Inna alladhina amanu wa aminu salihati sayaja'alu lahumu ar-Rahmanu hudda." Surely those who believe, Allah said, and they do good deeds, Allah will bring about for them love. What does this love refer to, I hear you ask? Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion, radiallahu anhu, he gives an explanation and he said, "Mahabbatan fi nasi fi dunya." It means that people in this world, they will love him. He said, it means that people in this world, they will love him. And the words of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established this exact same meaning. He would say in a beautiful narration, "Ma min abdin إِلَّا وَلَهُ صِيْتٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَإِذَا كَانَ صِيْتُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ حَسَنًا وُضِعَ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَسَنًا وَإِذَا كَانَ صِيْتُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ سَيِّئًا وُضِعَ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ سَيِّئًا." He would say that there isn't any person except that they have a reputation in the heavens. And therefore, if his reputation there in the heavens is good, it will be placed on earth as well. But if his reputation in the heavens is a bad one, it too will be placed here on earth. Therefore, what people are saying about you today is a reflection of what you are being spoken about above. The fact that you are, for the most part, loved by the Muslims is not accidental. But inshallah, see it as an exciting sign as per where you stand in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. And the opposite, by the way, is just as true. And that is why Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he would say, "Ma minan nasi abdun ya'malu khayran wa la ya'mal sharran إلا كساه الله رداء عمله. Any person, he said, who does good or evil, Allah will clothe him with the garment of his deeds. Subhanallah. Allah will clothe him or her with the garments, the attire of their doings. So, in other words, what you are insisting on doing behind closed doors, dear brother, dear sister, whether it is something good in private or something evil and treacherous in private, it's only going to be a matter of time before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it public. That is promise number two. Promise number three. Allah Almighty has promised that Islam will remain until the Day of Judgment. Listen to this prophecy, dear brothers and sisters, that you are about to hear. A prophecy of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that really couldn't have come at a better time. A narration which Muslim narrates on the authority of the companion Thawban. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Allah drew the ends of the world for me to see, and I have seen its eastern and western ends. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. And I saw that the kingdom of my ummah will reach those ends that I saw, the east and west. Subhanallah. And then he said, وَأُعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرُ وَالْأَبْيَضُ. Allah has also given me the two treasures, the red and the white. And these are in references to places that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam kingdom would eventually reach. And he would say, وَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي لِأُمَّتِي أَنْ لَا يُهْلِكَهَا بِسَنَةٍ عَامَّةٍ وَأَنْ لَا يُسَلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ. And I begged my Lord for my ummah that, number one, it should not be destroyed because of famine. And I begged my Lord, number two, that it is never to be dominated by an enemy who is not from it, who would then eradicate them. And now Allah is about to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the outcome of his dua, his request. Was it granted or not? وَإِنَّ رَبِّي قَالَ. My Lord, he said, يَا مُحَمَّدِ إِنِّي إِذَا قَضَيْتُ قَضَاءً فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرَدْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever I make a decision, I, Allah, make a decision and it cannot be changed. وَإِنِّي أَعْطَيْتُكَ لِأُمَّتِكَ أَنْ لَا أُهْلِكَهُمْ بِسَنَةٍ عَامَّةٍ. And so I have granted for you that your ummah, your nation, will never be destroyed by means of famine. Subhanallah. What about the second dua that he made? Listen to the answer. وَأَنْ لَا أُصَلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَى أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ بِأَقْطَارِهَا. And I have decreed that you will never be dominated, you and the Muslims, by an enemy who would not be from them, even if the entire world were to join hands with the intention of doing so. Allahu Akbar. So this is a promise that couldn't have come at a better time for our bruised ummah. A promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is fulfilled, by the way, in several ways. You may say to me, how is it that Allah Almighty will ensure and decree that this religion will remain until the end of time? I say to you, consider these several mechanisms. Number one, by the frequent sending of revivalists. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Allah Almighty sends, he said, for this ummah, at the end of each 100 years, those who will revive the religion, revivalists, may Allah make you and I from amongst them. That's one mechanism by way this religion will be preserved till the end of time. What else you may say to me? Number two, by Allah Almighty taking it upon His divine self to preserve the Qur'an. Allah is the one who preserves the Qur'an. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah said, we were the ones who revealed the Qur'an and we shall be its guardians. It shall never change, and it can never change in its meaning, nor can it ever change in its wording. Promise from Allah. Number three, a third mechanism, by protecting a particular group of Muslims who will remain upon the truth till the end of time, even if the masses end up becoming corrupt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, speaking about this, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. He said, there will always be a group from my ummah who will be prevalent with the truth, and they will not be harmed by those who let them down till the command of Allah comes to pass. There will always be a group firm upon the truth, even if the masses go corrupt. May Allah make us from this minority. Therefore, the Muslim who believes these promises will not despair, regardless of how great the hostility that Islam and Muslims may face. Why? Because Allah Almighty never fails in His promises. That is promise number what? That is promise number three. Promise number four, the resurrection must happen. This day, the last day, the final day is so certain that one of its names is الْيَوْمُ الْمَوْعُودِ, the promised day. Allah said, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. Allah said, I swear by the sky that is containing the great stars, and I swear by the promised day. That promised day is the day of judgment. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion, he would say in explanation of this ayah, وَعَدَ أَهْلَ السَّمَاءِ وَأَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ أَنْ يَجْتَمِعُوا فِيهِ. Allah Almighty has promised the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth that they will all meet on that day. And this is precisely why Allah Almighty has taught us to say in the dua that we read in the Quran, memorize it, dear brother, dear sister, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Our Lord, surely You will gather mankind together on the date or on the day about which there is no doubt. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never breaks His promise. And therefore, because of this, dear brother, dear sister, because of this promise of the resurrection and how it has to happen, no matter how many blinkers we may put on our heads and how many covers we turn over ourselves, the believer is always on edge, always in a state of preparation, always in a state of repentance, having realized that ahead of us is a very long journey that awaits, that begins with death. It begins with death. That is promise number four. The resurrection is on its way. It has to happen. Promise number five. Allah Almighty has promised those who courageously reject a sinful practice with that which is better. Ya Allah, this is a promise that provides so much strength and peace and solace and reassurance, particularly to that young Muslim man or that young Muslim woman who may be struggling with a specific addiction of some sort or a particular private doing that they know will distance them from Allah and will distance them from success in the hereafter. Abu Qatada and Abu Dahma, they said, أَتَيْنَا عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْبَادِيَةِ فَقُلْنَا هَلْ سَمِعْتَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلْ سَمِعْتَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَيْئًا. We came to a Bedouin man, they said, and we said to him, have you heard any knowledge from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Did you ever hear him say anything? And he said to them, yes. I heard him say, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهِ. He said that I heard him say, there isn't anything that you leave for the sake of Allah, except that He will replace you with something better. What is that? That is a promise, dear brother, dear sister. And Allah Almighty never fails in His promise. Now don't get me wrong, such a replacement may be delivered to you in an obvious fashion, right? So you have a prohibited relationship of some sort that you cut out, right? And so Allah replaces you with a wonderful, pure, halal relationship, or an impermissible business dealing that you cut out, and so Allah replaces you with a better business dealing, right? And so on. But at the same token, the form of the reward, the replacement, it may arrive in different fashions. It may come in the form of health for your children, or a cure from an illness that was on its way to cripple you, or a beautiful and righteous spouse, or an ability to pray at night that you were maybe previously struggling with. Allah may replace that sin that you left for His sake in an obvious way, and He may replace it in a way that is better for you. And that is because Allah Almighty knows what is best for you, and therefore the reward for your courageous rejection of the haram is tailored for what you need most, even if you don't realize that you need it. Make the courageous decision from this moment onwards to make amends to those habits, those relationships, those secret doings, that you know need evicting from your life, dear brother, dear sister, and then realize that the better replacement from Allah has already been dispatched and it is on its way. Allahu Akbar. May Allah give us the strength to do that. That is promise number what? That is promise number five. As for our sixth and final promise, this is the following. The outcome of patience will be paradise. That's patience, by the way, in all three of its forms. As-sabru ala al-maqdur, patience towards what has been decreed for you. As-sabru ala al-ma'mur, patience towards the obligations of Islam. As-sabru ala al-mahdhur, patience towards the prohibitions of Islam. All three of these levels, they require so much patience, and your struggle with them will eventually drive you to paradise. Why? Because Allah Almighty has promised that. Brother Ali, where has Allah Almighty promised this? Let us read the ayah so that they may soothe our hearts. And I recite to you the ayah where Allah Almighty said, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ خَالِدِينَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَعْدًا مَسْئُولًا. In Jannah, Allah said, everything that they may wish for will be there for them, living inside eternally. And then he said, this is a promise binding upon your Lord that must be fulfilled. Allahu Akbar. And Allah Almighty, he said, لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ لَهُمْ غُرَفٌ مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ مَّبْنِيَّةٌ تَجْرِي مِّن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِيعَادِ. Allah mentions that those who have feared their Lord, were conscious of Him, they shall be given high mansions, above them higher mansions, built for them one above the other, beneath which rivers flow. And then Allah said, this is the promise of Allah, and Allah will never fail in His promise. And Allah Almighty said, وَتَتَلَقَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ هَذَا يَوْمُكُمُ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. The angels will meet them on that day, saying to them, this is the day which you have been promised. Allahu Akbar. It's a promise from Allah. Brother, sister, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the destruction of the whole world in its entirety is lesser than failing in any one of the promises that He has made. Allah therefore has made the promise, you have heard them, and now it's upon you and me to meet the conditions with patience. We ask Allah Almighty to make us from amongst those people.